The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning, warning.
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger, danger.
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters
the danger zone. Buckle up, everybody, because we are heading for trouble. It's time to enter the danger zone. David Trainer joins us right now, and David, of course, is the president at New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale from most attractive to most dangerous. What typically makes something dangerous is that when you look at the surface level, the numbers that you're used to seeing about the company, well, those numbers present one picture. But when you dig in at the footnotes level and you work your way up, which is what David and his crew at New Constructs do, well, you get a completely different picture. In fact, you find that the headline numbers are maybe a little bit misleading, and that's making something dangerous. Well, attractive typically works the opposite way. It's that you find out that the situation is better than you might see from the easy-to-read numbers. If you want to learn more about how New Constructs do it and how the system works, you want to see the list of the most attractive and most dangerous stocks, you want to read their blog, which goes into more detail about the stuff David and I discuss on the show, go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter, at New Constructs. David Trainer, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Netflix.
Netflix. It's ticker symbol NFLX. Now, let's get a couple of things out of the way to keep my audience clear. Now, last week on this show, we had a guy named Andy Swan, and he was on, and he uses a sentiment indicator to basically talk about buys and sells. He happened to talk about Netflix saying it was trending towards a sell, and the market was still open. And by the end of the day, it would have been a sell. We have to notify the audience here on this one. They're hearing this on Monday, but because of my schedule, we recorded it early. So we're not going to really talk about the stock price here on Netflix because we know things could move. But Netflix has been in the danger zone in the past. It has been a stock that has sort of defied gravity at times for you in the past. It's also a stock that last week came out saying, hey, we missed things. So is the problem still all the problems, or is this in the danger zone because now's the time? There was the miss. That should be the catalyst.
I believe now's the time, you know, and look, I, as you pointed out, I've been wrong about this one before for sure. But I got to say, everything that we predicted about what was going to happen to this business has 100% happened. They've had to shift away from replay content or reruns to creating original content, which is very expensive. They've had to raise prices in order to have any chance at generating any cash flow. And by the way, they lost $1.6 billion last year in negative free cash flow. So they've got a long way to go to get to that. And then as soon as they, even before they raise prices, customer growth slows. And so everything that we've said that was going to happen to the economics and the cash flows of this business have happened, and yet expectations embedded in the valuation remain extremely high. And look, you know, now that the Fed has not effectively carte blanche said we're going to do whatever we can to push the market up, stocks have been a lot more sensitive to their real underlying economics, which is why our danger zone picks have done so well in the last 12 months. And Netflix is one of the very few that is not. I think time is up, Chuck. I think people are finally going to start to get realistic about the fact that this business is completely competitively boxed in. They're not making any money. They're losing a lot of money. And there's really very little chance they're going to make much money ever.
And yet the stock has defied gravity. So let's talk about the things that you think are the worst, because you've talked about the business conditions. You know, we always say with New Constructs that there's the headline stuff and the stuff that people see, and then there's the stuff that you see in the footnotes. So at some point, everybody's been looking at momentum. When they look at momentum, they're not even looking at the headline numbers. They're not looking at the, hey, this is what the loss was or what have you. They're just looking at there's momentum here. The headline numbers show things are bad. Do the footnotes level show things are worse?
They do when you take into account the cash flows. I mean, you know, they're showing positive cash flow in their sort of non-GAAP earnings number. We're showing last year, we're showing negative $1.6 billion. From there, we also point out that when it comes to the valuation, most people are overlooking $1.3 billion in stock option liabilities. They've got more debt than you think because they've got off-balance sheet debt. You know, those still, in some ways, are the ticks on the elephant's arse when you look at just how ridiculously overvalued the stock is. You know, we also predicted there was going to be huge competition. I mean, a couple of years ago when we started pointing out this is a dangerous stock, you know, we talked about the impact of Amazon and Hulu and Redbox. I mean, it's just, it's coming out of everywhere, and they're changing their business. You know, they're going to say, oh, we can get content offline, and we're going to continue to try to tick off the movie studios on whom we're reliant to get new movies by putting movies out right when they come out of the studio. I mean, these guys, they got no friends, mm-hmm. And they got no competitive advantage. Now they've got Amazon in a price war with them, and how many firms in the history of the world have beaten Amazon in a price war?
Not many. That doesn't bode well.
And then you've got, when I say competitively boxed in, on the lower cost range area, you're competing head-to-head against Amazon, who's cheaper than you now, right? On the high-value end, you've got HBO, where most people would argue the content is worlds better than what you get on Netflix, and we're a lot better. And it's not that much more expensive. It's $15 a month as opposed to $9 a month, or $10 a month, I mean. And let's also keep in mind that the last time they had a significant price raise, they lost a million subscribers in 2011 when they announced the $16 price for streaming and DVD. This was back when they still did DVD, up from the previous amount of 10. And the thing is, people have even more choices today of where to go to get content other than Netflix for a price raise.
We don't necessarily want to talk about price based on the fact that we are recording this in advance, but as a projection, what do you think this stock is worth? Is this stock, in your mind, worth anything at this point? Because I remember the last time we talked about the stock, the numbers were ugly. So I'm expecting them to still be ugly here. I'm just curious, do you actually think this is a stock that truly has an economic future?
Well, you know, the no growth value of this business, when you just look at the value of the business based on its existing cash flows, net of all debt and liabilities, you're right. It's a dollar. $1.33 in our model. But what we'd like to do is provide some more realistic examples, because I don't think anybody believes it's going to go to a dollar, just considering where it is now. And one of the things we found is that maybe a better set of comps for Netflix is not tech companies. It's traditional media companies. Let's face it, they're in the content business now, right? Their existing library shrunk by 32%. Their traditional content library shrunk by 32% in the past 2.5 years. They're investing more in original content. Wasn't that like CBS, Time Warner, Viacom? They're about creating original content. And those stocks, if you want to look at just traditional kind of valuation metrics, those stocks trade at a price to revenue multiple. You know, the best one is at 3.0, Viacom's at 2.3, CBS is at 2.7, Time Warner's at 3.0 times. So let's just say you wanted to give Netflix a 4x multiple on revenue, even though it's a lot less profitable than these guys. In fact, these other companies, they generate a lot of cash flow. We gave them a 4x multiple, it's $58 a share, right? So like in the best of all worlds, they get to be paired up with Time Warner, CBS, and Viacom. They're still drastically overpriced. But that price, I think, is honestly, because they don't make any money at Netflix right now, I think that price is too high. When we break it down on a real discounted cash flow model, and we give them the ability or credit for hitting a return on capital equal to that of Viacom, which is one of the best in the business. So again, being optimistic, being generous, and assume they can grow their profits by 16% compounded annually for a decade, that's only $30 a share.
That still is a tall, tall order, 16% a year for that long. So 30% a year on Netflix, huge haircut still from current levels. And that's why it's in the danger zone. David, thanks so much for joining me. We really appreciate it.
Great to be with you, Chuck. Thank you.
David Trainer is the president at New Constructs. For more information, newconstructs.com on Twitter at New Constructs. Remember that they blog about their Danger Zone picks, so you can get more details there. Up next, our second big interview today. So stick around. We're living the money life, and we'll be right back with more.